Hello and welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors, where each episode we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are looking at one of the essential crime films from Hong Kong, Infernal Affairs, co-directed by Andrew Lau and Alan Mack. With me here today to talk about Infernal Affairs is Professor Murray Westhaver. Professor Westhaver, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So I guess we'll just start off with it right away. For people who aren't aware, Infernal Affairs was remade 4 years later into Martin Scorsese's Best Picture winner, The Departed. So it's almost impossible to talk about this film, you know, and not talk about The Departed. So I watched both when I prepared for this. I've seen both of them before. I kind of go back and forth on these movies on which is better. So I kind of wonder, going from your opinion, is there one that you just say this is better than the other, or are you kind of like maybe about the same?
I like The Departed as a Scorsese movie, but I think the art direction was poor and the lighting was dry and the picture was disturbing. I think the Hong Kong version is much more subtle. Of course, you know, nobody ever accused Martin Scorsese of being subtle. But I think there's so many things in the original that I think were done better.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. Because I know one funny thing you talked about we talked about this earlier, when you show it to your kids in the class, some kids say, like, you know, I like the, you know, they show both of them, you say, oh, I didn't like all that profanity in The Departed, that's why I like Infernal Affairs better. And so I like The Departed because it had all that profanity.
Yeah, that was a plus. Yeah, it's got a definite different feel to it. Mm-hmm. Even the way death is handled in Scorsese's version, it's, of course, the way he always does things, which is sort of brutal and almost you're standing back from it, mm-hmm. always an observer. Where when something happens and someone's killed in Infernal Affairs, there's a moment taken and mm-hmm. some music played and a awareness of this person's life that's been lost.
Yeah, it's so, and when it goes back to a little bit of that, I would say, like I say, I go back and forth. Sometimes I might say, oh, I think Infernal Affairs better. Sometimes I think The Departed's better. But I would say I think The Departed is a better directed movie. And a couple of scenes, like when you talk about the death, I think it's a little bit melodramatic for me. In Infernal Affairs, like, they play the really somber, sad music, and they give you flashbacks. It's almost like, just in case you didn't know this was important. I thought that was a little bit, and Scorsese with that part, he doesn't need to do that. I like that. And there's actually this really good YouTube video that's talking about Scorsese and his use of silence in movies. And they compare the scene in The Departed when the two moles finally call each other. It's that big moment. And he plays it out completely silent, just builds that tension in the scene. And then he compares it to the scene in Infernal Affairs. And it's this really, you know, over-the-top dramatic music. It's got, like, you know, heavy metal guitars. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And it's...
That's well, and also the little tune that they play feels like a riff on Amazing Grace, you know, if you hadn't gotten mm-hmm. the message.
Yeah.
But it does have a nice emotional beat when you're watching the movie. I didn't feel it felt too melodramatic. I thought it was kind of appropriate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for example, the two different scenes with the cast. You know, in Infernal Affairs, it's a detail in, you know, when Scorsese reshoots it, he has to have Jack Nicholson go ham with and just destroy almost the guy's arm. You know, he just mm-hmm. can't resist. And then even the going off the roof scene, you know, in Infernal Affairs, it's treated as a surprise.
Yeah, it's a big shock.
It's a big shock.
But they give you the shot. Even, I remember when the trailer for it originally came out, they showed that scene when Martin Sheen, spoiler alert, is falling from the tower.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you have to watch him all the way down to the splat. Yep,
yeah, and then he's just
so Scorsese.
He's just walking, and all this in Infernal Affairs, he's just walking, and then bam,
right behind. Yep.
Yeah, you're complete jarring.
Which I thought was more dramatic, obviously, because it's a surprise, but because it's that's how death happens. Even in the crime world, it's always a surprise, even if you're living it. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it was much more powerful. You also get the chance to see the cop turn around, see what happened, and freak out a little bit before everybody shows up and he has to get back into character.
And then it turns into a big shootout, yeah. And, you know, you brought up a really good point where I do agree with you that one thing that Infernal Affairs does better is that it's a lot less, it's more subtle than Scorsese. Like you said, nobody ever accused Scorsese of being subtle. And I think, we talked about with the issue of profanity, I kind of like the fact that you know, this movie necessarily didn't have to, like, be F this, F that, even though I think there's a lot of creative profanity in Departed. Like, it didn't need to do that, and it didn't have to be, like, everybody's getting their butts kicked, and there's blood everywhere and everything. You know, like, the scene, that scene in The Departed when it's the when Jack Nicholson finally gets killed, and he's bleeding everywhere, and then his secondhand man, within the matter of seconds, gets shot again, bleeding everywhere. He's about to be burned alive, and then he pulls a gun and kills himself.
Right. I mean, it didn't have we get more gore in there.
Yeah, and like this one, it didn't have to. It's R-rated and it's violent, but like compared to Scorsese, it's like almost like a Disney movie almost. It's very, and I like the fact they didn't have to throw in all that. That's one thing, that's like a check mark I'd give to Infernal Affairs, why I would think one thing Infernal Affairs does better.
Now, I will give Scorsese some stylistic curlicues. Mm-hmm. I like the way he incorporated, there's sort of a inside, I don't even know if you call it a joke, but when the two guys are on the top of the, before Wong's getting thrown off the roof,
yeah,
when he and Chen are talking, they see the number 4 on the wall, which is bad luck. It means somebody, it almost sounds like the word death. Mm-hmm. And you notice when he's going down the elevator that there is no number 4. It's kind of like we don't have a 13th floor. 4 is a really unlucky number. Mm-hmm. So they foreshadow the fact that Wong's about to die. Mm-hmm. Well, Scorsese used the Scarface method of putting the X's all over the place, and which was kind of a nice way to do a nod to the 4, mm-hmm. and also to sort of bring in Scarface for Scarface fans. Mm-hmm. But it's done over and over and over, where the Hong Kong movie just has it once, just very elegant.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You're not done.
I just wanted to bring up the X's.
Yeah, okay. And one thing in The Departed that I was not a fan of at all is at the very last, it's the very last scene in the movie. It's not the scene, not the killing itself, but when the rat is scurrying mm-hmm. across, it's almost like Scorsese's like, get it? Because he's a rat? Get it? And just like,
I liked the rat.
But it's just so obvious. Like, you're Martin Scorsese. You don't need to be that obvious with the symbolism. We get it, you know? I never got that part.
Although I did like the way he opens the movie with a bag of groceries and ends with a bag of groceries. Starts off with a little kid, you know, meeting Jack Nicholson's mm-hmm. character. And you see the kid kind of grow up to be who he is for, you know, less than 5 minutes. But mm-hmm. it's a nice scene setting. And Scorsese does some nice things about with the mise-en-scene to create the effect that it's a very Catholic community. You know, mm-hmm. you see the kid being an altar boy, and he talks about James Joyce, and he's a freckle-faced kid, and he's wearing a green shirt. I mean, mm-hmm. all these reinforcements that it's very, very Irish, and it's very, very Catholic.
Mm-hmm. You always kind of, whenever there's a movie set in Boston, there's always that establishing of a community, whether it's this film or Manchester by the Sea or other crime films like Mystic River or Gone Baby Gone. You know, it always, like, they set that community of Boston, like, it's very close-knit, and they don't like outsiders or people who are trying to intrude on that community.
Now, some people who like The Departed more like it because it adds those two characters with Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg, and they think that adds a necessary component, and I do like them.
Yeah. You know, and when everybody, that's one thing people always say, like, oh, come on, Departed's better, look at that cast. Mark Wahlberg, DiCaprio,
Jack Nicholson.
Alec Baldwin, Nicholson. Like, how can you beat that cast? This has got a pretty good, I think this is a really good cast. I mean, Andy Lau and Tony Leung are two, people don't know them here, but in Hong Kong, they're huge stars. And they're huge musicians as well. And then not only that, but I like Eric Tsang, the guy that plays the mob boss who was the Jack Nicholson character, and he was actually really good too. I think there's really solid performances throughout this movie, and they're not the big names that, you know, the heavy hitters are in The Departed, but I still think they're really good.
Now, the guy you just mentioned is big in Hong Kong as a TV MC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's very well liked, and I think back in the day he was a soccer player, and he started off as a stuntman, so mm-hmm. he's really a very jovial character, which it sort of comes across.
Yeah.
When you watch the prequel, it starts off with this wonderful scene where you see that character and Superintendent Wong, and you see that they used to be friends. They kind of reprise the food scene in the police station, and the two guys are friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're you could bring up a good point about how he's so jovial and very energetic, and you see that throughout the movie, you know, like that scene when, you know, he lost all the money, but he's still gaining his composure. He has all this plate of food. He's like, hey, come, you know, the police are coming. He's like, come on in, have some of this stuff. It's mm-hmm. pretty darn good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you like Jack Nicholson as the version of him in the American version?
The thing about Nicholson for me is that
He's always Nicholson.
Yeah, he's always Nicholson. And he's playing Crazy Nicholson in this movie. He's a good, I like him. He's a good actor, but there's only a couple of movies I've seen, like The Pledge and a couple other films where he's doing somebody that's not, you know, Nicholson, you know, that kind of thing.
He's, he wasn't supposed to be the actor. It was supposed to be De Niro because Scorsese always likes working with De Niro. But De Niro wasn't available, so he chose Jack Nicholson, who I think kind of fits the slob character that Sam does in The Departed, just sort of this, I don't know, overweight, and Jack Nicholson seems like he never washes his hair in the hole.
Yeah, he looks awful. Remember in the scene when he squashes the fly and then he eats it?
Yeah.
Even, like I said, he's over the top in that movie, but that's kind of Nicholson. He does that a lot. Watch The Joker, watch anything he does. But
how did you like the combining three characters into one female character?
That didn't bother me, because in The Infernal Affairs, it was really distracting when we first see this woman who's the ex-lover,
mm-hmm.
and she is brought up out of nowhere. We never really get an introduction to her or any backstory previously, and it's like, oh, they used to date. Now she's married with a kid.
Yeah, but that scene is so awesome because it shows you, I always think it's very funny because, you know, she tells him that, hey, it's been 7 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's your daughter. Oh, how old is she? Oh, she's 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he leaves, the little girl says, Mommy, I'm 6. So, you know, that's his kid.
It's his kid,
but
yeah.
No mother in the history of the world is ever forgets how old their kid is, because kids have it down to the month, you know. Mm-hmm. You would never forget. I just think it's a charming scene. All three ladies who are the love interests in the Hong Kong version are famous pop stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the ex-girlfriend is a Taiwanese pop star. But the other two, Mary, the wife, or the girl that Lau wants to marry, and the psychiatrist are both huge singing sensations.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, very, very famous. So for the audience, you know, it's this opportunity to see, you know, one of your favorite. It's like having Beyonce show up in a small role. It's like, oh, that's Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Very recognizable to the crowd.
You talked, going to a point you made earlier, how you said the Departed sort of feels a little bit flat with the camera movement.
Yeah.
I think watching both, I would say the Infernal Affairs, I think the camera works better, I think, because you get this whole feel like Hong Kong is like a character in the movie. The way it shoots the nightlife,
mm-hmm.
that's the chase scene in the theater, just, you know, the way, like, the all the scenes on the rooftops, you know, with all that in the city line in the background. I think that's all really well done. I would say that you get that more than with the Departed, with the character of Boston, you know.
Right, because it was nice that they had the same scenes on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed more believable in the Hong Kong one, where they're playing golf and, you know, you run out of space. So you just keep going up. It feels like a nice detail.
Because this is probably when I first watched Infernal Affairs for the first time, and I had seen Departed quite a few times, I was surprised at how many scenes from The Departed were taken from this movie. Just like, there's so many scenes, like, example, even some little scene like when the two guys are saying, oh, anybody who doesn't look at us and pretends to mm-hmm. do something else is a cop. That's mm-hmm. from that movie.
Yeah, like word for word.
Yeah. And even like that golf scene, that's taken from this movie. You know, the two big set pieces of the shootout, that's in this movie. You know, the rooftop sequence, that's in that movie. Mm-hmm. The big twist at the end with that there's somebody else in the forest, that's in this movie. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he kept a lot of the stuff, which I thought was key. Mm-hmm. But he did not use, say, like the Morse code.
Yeah, which I thought would have been really cool.
Yeah, me too. And I thought it was a neat detail. Didn't use it at all. And then I thought that what I thought was supposed to be a big emotional moment where he says, well, you know, what's your password? We can't get into it. And in Infernal Affairs, it's Morse code for password.
It makes sense.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
In The Departed, it's my name. Now, I've had students say that they thought that was a great answer because he was undercover for so long, the one thing that he would want to keep be a secret would be his name. But it sounds like saying, yeah, my password is password.
Yeah, not a very good...
my dog's... something really obvious.
Yeah.
I thought it didn't work. Did you like it as a answer?
I think the theme in The Departed is that it's all about his identity. He constantly says, I want to get out of this. I want my identity back. I want to be me. I don't want to be these two people throughout the rest of my life. When he comes back, he wants that identity back. So I thought that was good. I mean, when you think like, oh, come on, his password's his name, that's pretty cheap. But I think it does it good. But I also think the Infernal Affairs with, it's Morse code for password. I think that's also really, really well done too. So I like both of those, that element.
I liked in Infernal Affairs that the two moles met each other in the beginning and didn't know it.
Yeah, you know, and then how when he's showing him the speakers and it's that song.
Yeah.
And then when he finds out like he's been the mole, he plays at the beginning of the tape with all the recordings, he starts off with that song. Mm-hmm. I thought that's a really good touch.
I thought it was too. I thought it played better in the Infernal Affairs.
Mm-hmm. And so now we could talk, you talked to us a little bit. I've only seen the first Infernal Affairs movie, and I know there are two, and one sort of like takes place like 10 years before when they're just starting out being moles, and then the last one picks up right after where the first one left off. So what are your opinions on those movies if you've seen them?
It actually, if you watch all three of them, it follows the whole trajectory that you get in The Departed.
Hmm.
So in the end, Lau doesn't get away with it. But that's actually why I think the first movie works so well, because there is that sort of irony of, ooh, am I glad or am I not glad? Because you have a good bad cop and a bad good cop. Mm-hmm. And they're both sympathetic in a way.
Yeah. My one thing, though, with the ending, I wasn't sure if it was trying to suggest, like, Andy Lau is now feeling bad for all the stuff that he's done.
Yeah, you're definitely supposed to believe that.
I don't believe that, though. It's just like, it's sort of like, oh, I'm just, it's sort of like he's just feeling that because he finally got caught. I don't know. I don't think, like, it was earned. Like, he got away with everything. I don't think he really he feels any regret. I just think it's just because, I got caught. I better act all apologetic. Maybe they'll believe me.
Now, there's another ending that they released. That does have him, being found out. But I think it's actually stronger the other way. Because then you think, what happens next?
So kind of going back to this whole compare and contrast thing we've been doing with this in The Departed, do you feel that this film has sort of been overshadowed by The Departed, that, when people, it's always about The Departed and people go, oh, yeah, that movie?
I think it's probably just thought of that way in the United States. I mean, it's really hard not to admire anything that Scorsese's done because he's a master. And he does do some things in that movie that are funnier. And that are more ironic, because that's his wheelhouse, crime and shooting and betrayal and gore. I mean, he does what he does very well. So I think in the United States, no one's even knows it's a remake.
Yeah.
And I think almost definitely in Asia, I'm sure they've heard of The Departed, but I would think that, just the name recognition of all the people who are in it would make it clearly just a better version.
Yeah, and actually, when I was looking up information, there's a Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in Hong Kong, and one of the wax museums they have is of Andy Lau, and it's his character from Infernal Affairs, and he's in his little police office.
Yes, isn't that cool? They also, some of the actors went to the Hong Kong Film Awards and reprised the scene from the theater. Hmm. And one of them says, why do we always meet in a cinema? And he answers, it's quiet, no one comes to the movies. And then another actor comes in and says, I don't know, quite a few people watch movies. And then they show all of these Hong Kong celebrities watching various Hong Kong clips. So, it's famous enough to be used as a joke.
Parody.
As a parody.
And it's sort of just a classic story. It's sort of like one that, whether it's in Hong Kong or America or anywhere, it's just, you got cops, cops and robbers.
And redemption.
And redemption. Just
choosing to do good things, I don't know. It's hard to
one guy's
unravel.
One guy's in the inside in a criminal group. One guy's on the inside for the police. And, just sort of, it's a good story that I think it's, because it just can go anywhere. It can go to any country, regardless of, you know, wherever criminals are and cops are.
You know, one thing I found interesting about the way the story went in the Hong Kong version, which I don't remember feeling this way so much about The Departed, was it seemed like the moles didn't know each other. Like the people who were on the inside who were really cops in the drug gang didn't seem to know that each other were also cops. And then the drug guys who were on the police force didn't seem to know about each other either. So when Chen's character is, you know, trying to arrest Lau.
Yeah, and then the other guy.
And the other guy comes in. You find out then that he was also undercover. But Chen didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And Lau didn't know either. Very weird. And the doofus guy, who I think has the greatest lines, you're a cop. I don't know that Chen knew he was.
Yeah, and that was kind of like in The Departed too, where you have the one guy who was also a mole for the department at the end, who shows up and kills DiCaprio. Spoiler, but he was you thought you were the only one. Like he had a lot of people in the force, and then also when DiCaprio finds out there was another undercover cop in that gang. He didn't find out until the guy died at the end. He's like, why do you think I didn't tell when you came up, when I gave you the wrong address?
See, the weird thing was, in the beginning of the movie, you see the two main guys in the police academy, mm-hmm. and one gets fake kicked out, you know, as one looks on. How is it they would have not figured out? That's probably the mole. Or even to have seen the other guys around in the police academy who would also fake get kicked out or mm-hmm. really get kicked out. I mean, you would think you would recognize these folks when you ran into them.
Yeah, or just, you know, when they're trying to figure out, like in The Departed, because I don't think in Infernal Affairs they'd bring this up, but in The Departed, they're like, who could be the rat in our group? Could it possibly be the guy that went to the police academy for a couple of months? Mm-hmm. Couldn't it possibly be him? And I don't think, did they reveal that he... Because the part they explained that they can't keep that secret. They have to let that be known that you did that. But in Infernal Affairs, were they aware that he was supposedly tried out for the academy and failed?
The guy who goes off to be the mole?
Yeah, Tony Leung.
Yeah, because you see Lau looking after him, and they say, "Who wants to be like Lieutenant Yan?" And he says, "I do."
No, I mean like the Eric Sang character, the big guys. Did they know that he was? Because I wasn't sure if they brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would have to kind of look into it. I don't know, but
okay.
You know, we're trying too hard to find why it wouldn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It's really just a fun action movie.
Yeah. And I think this film, because I've been going through a lot of like films from, you know, martial arts movies from Hong Kong and in China, and I would say this is like a good, if you want to start out, like getting into Hong Kong cinema, especially action and crime movies, this is a good start out to when I would recommend. Now, it's not as over the top with action as, say, a John Woo movie or a Chow Yun-fat film where it's just shootout, 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 or another film Tony Leung was in called Hard Boiled, where he's also an undercover cop. And that movie is just guns and, you know, shoot 'em up over the entire movie. But
yeah, now he was in that movie with the guy who plays Wong. And in both movies, he plays an undercover cop. And in both films, he receives a gift from a superior officer, a cigarette lighter in that one, and mm-hmm. a watch in this one.
For the amount of time they've been in the undercover, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so kind of going back talking about Hong Kong, what other films, like movies like this, would you recommend for other people to get into it? I would recommend anything John Woo has ever done.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know it's not actually considered, it's definitely not considered like the same sort of thing, but I like the way Zhang Yimou does epic and battle and spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hero is a fantastic movie. House of Flying Daggers. I didn't care for Curse of the Golden Flower, but those two are good.
Oh, I love Curse of the Golden Flower. But House of Flying Daggers is Andy Lau again.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Andy Lau has a small part in Zhang Yimou's The Great Wall.
Yeah, so have you seen that movie?
I have. It's not as bad as you think it's going to be. The story's not great, but the action's fabulous. And the CGI is fabulous.
Yeah, it seems like he's got... Because I've seen quite a few movies he'd done in the 90s, which are very more like intimate family movies, like To Live, Raise the Red Lantern, The Road Home.
Zhu Du.
I haven't seen that one, and Not One Less. Those are all really good movies, but they're not action movies like in the least. They're, you know, kind of these family dramas or emotional films. It's interesting that once he did Hero, which was a huge hit, it's like he's fallen in love with big budget. Everything's mm-hmm. got to be money, just special effects and fights and explosions and
well, we'll
battles.
Have to talk about him on another day. But he did the opening ceremony for the Beijing Olympics.
Yep, so. I remember that, and that was big,
and a spectacle, and a cast of thousands.
Look at it. Yeah.
Yes, sweeping everything.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. Hong Kong, I think, is definitely influenced a lot of action movies here, and I think the two that stick out to me is one is The Matrix.
Yes.
Yen Woping, who also did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and he worked for years in Hong Kong in Chinese action and martial arts cinema. He was a choreographer on The Matrix. And yeah, it's just fantastic martial arts sequences. Those fights are really good. And then speaking of Keanu, John Wick, the last two movies are very Hong Kong martial arts related. And the same people that worked on The Matrix worked with him in this movie as far as the directors and stuntmen go. And you know, really good action sequences, gun fu. Just, you know, I recommend those movies if you're into action. Those are very Hong Kong-esque.
Yeah, the new John Wick is a lot of fun to watch. It is one car chase after another fight, and then another car chase and another fight. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked in that movie, it's the very opening of the movie, and you can hear the cars and rolling, and then like projected onto the big building is Buster Keaton. It's like this is what you're gonna see. You're gonna see stunts and action, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And so you talked a little bit earlier, so I guess if you could gauge maybe just of all your students, like, is there a majority one way or the other as far as whether Infernal Affairs or The Departed is better?
You know, they seem pretty split down the middle. And that's, I think, because some people prefer a more cerebral look at the situation and the delicate touches like the Morse code and whatnot. And then I think other people just like the raw energy that you get out of any Scorsese film, which means anything he did that was a remake would have that extra vitality.
Yeah, and I know another remake he did was Cape Fear. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is it good? Because I've seen the original.
It's pretty scary. Yeah, I don't think he's made a bad movie, really.
Color of Money. That's a bad movie.
Actually bad or just not great?
I mean, it's not terrible, but
I mean,
it's just not
Paul
very
Newman
good.
In it.
Yeah, but it's just
Paul Newman. You can't be terrible.
I don't know, man. It's the only movie of his, like, because I know it's noted as the only movie that Ebert didn't like of Scorsese's, and I couldn't get into it. I like The Hustler, and this is a sequel to it, but yeah, I just couldn't get into it. That's the only movie of his I don't like. Every other thing is really good. Have you seen Silence?
No, but I do want to see it.
Really, really good. And I just like the fact that, you know, he isn't just, with something like that or Hugo, he isn't trying to always just do something like, you know, Departed, Goodfellas, Casino, Wolf of Wall Street, where it's, you know, something like that. He also tries to do something different.
And I loved Hugo.
Oh, that's such a good movie, too.
We'll have to do that on another day. You know, speaking of famous actors, I did want to say that Tony Leung is considered to be like the Asian Clark Gable. And he's done several films with Maggie Cheung, and they're considered Bogey and Bacall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I think if you were watching this in Asia, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Matt Damon and, you know, that other DiCaprio guy. But, I mean, Tony Leung
and Andy Lau.
And Andy Lau. And actually, a lot of the other people are quite well known.
Okay, then. So then last question I'll have for you is just tell us a little bit about we talked about it already, but tell us about your classes and maybe what class you bring this into.
I use this one in my world cinema class because the textbook that I use talks about mainland China separately from Hong Kong cinema. And it's also a nice way to bring in, hey, this week it's going to be easy because you get to watch Martin Scorsese. And a lot of people have already seen it. But they haven't seen it knowing to look for the X's. So there's a new thing, you know, to tell them to look for and to compare with Infernal Affairs.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been talking about the Hong Kong classic Infernal Affairs, co-directed by Andrew Lau and Alan Mock. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com under the category Armchair Directors. Rester Westhaver, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
For The Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying remember this, if you see someone doing something but at the same time watching you, then he's a cop.